Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. It's a nice, windy, hot summer day. This is the 2021, June the 13th. We are here to tell you about good news, nothing but good news. And it's been good news for the last 2,000 years. And the good news is that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on the cross, hung on the cross for what? 6 hours, dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder, and died. They put him in the grave. He stayed in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day morning, he got up out of the grave on his own power. God's power. God himself raised his son on his own power and went back to heaven, and has been gone for 2,000 years, and the 2,000 years is up. Jesus Christ is coming back soon, and very soon, and he's coming back. Unsurprisingly, the world will be shocked, devastated, misconstrued to believe that Jesus Christ is not actually going to come back to this earth. But he is on his way right now. He's on his way to judge the world in righteousness. Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to come back again. But before I come back again, many things must transpire between 70 AD and 2028. Many things are going to conspire. And now we're living in that time in which Jesus Christ can come any second, any minute, any hour, any day, any week, any year. He can come back in a moment of a twinkling of an eye and do what? Rapture. Rapture the church. The church must be raptured before the 7-year tribulation period starts. And now we're living in that danger zone in which the tribulation period is just about to get on head, because everything for the past 2,000 years, according to the scriptures and God's inspiration of his prophets and his preachers, we are living in the very last days, just before the rapture, because Jesus Christ will come after the 7-year tribulation. I want you to understand that, because before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, the great mystified, mystical Antichrist will come on the scene. And I'm here to tell you now, by the word of the living God, the Antichrist is here right now on the earth, full-grown man, waiting for the moment in which he will dazzle the whole planet. He will mystify the planet. He will deceive the planet. He will conscrew and make a lot of people believe that he is the true Christ. Because let me tell you something. Satan is going to come first with his Antichrist and his false Messiah, and then Jesus Christ will come after Satan will be put to flight. But before Christ comes back and steps his foot on the top of the Mount of Olives, which is in before Jerusalem, the Antichrist may come, and he is coming, and the world now is preparing for this Antichrist to deceive mankind with the greatest deception that will ever hit this planet. He already deceived the whole world, because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the only true light and the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him. So you can't get to God but by Jesus Christ, for he is the light. Satan is consisted of darkness, confusion, destruction, everything the opposite of righteousness. He is debauchery. He is what God is not. And God is not hate. God is not confusion. God is love. God is peace. God is joy. God is the love of God that passes all understanding. And I'm here to tell you that this is Watchmen on the Wall, End Time, Global Link Ministry. I come on every Friday, every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and I come on every Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We will be talking about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll be talking about the rapture of the church. We will be covering the Antichrist. We will be covering the 144,000 Jews that's preparing right now in Jerusalem. And that's why you see so much fighting over there. That's why you see so much killing over there and bombs, because Satan is trying to prevent, he's trying to prevent from Revelation to be fulfilled. But Revelation will be fulfilled completely from the fourth chapter all the way over to the 22nd chapter. Because right now we're living in the church age, and we're living in the last church age. And according to the scriptures and the word of God in the third chapter of Revelation, we know that the last church of the last age is a church of Laodiceans. The Laodicean church is on the earth right now. And it is what? It is the hypocritical church. It is the church that's trying to infiltrate the true church. But this church consists of lukewarm. It consisted of neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. And Jesus warned this church, if you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. In other words, it's a hypocritical church. And since it's a hypocritical church, it comes in the last church age, where people have a form of godliness, but they do not have the power of God in their lives. If you don't have the power of God sealed with the Holy Ghost by the blood of Jesus Christ, guess what? You are a lost soul, because the only way you can come to Jesus Christ is through the cross. Woo! Let me tell you something. The only way that a man can be saved from here to eternity, from Alpha to Omega, from the beginning to the end, from the first to the last, the only way that a man can ever be redeemed is through the blood of the cross, in which Jesus Christ died, suffered, buried, raised on the third day morning, ascended up into heaven, and coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And now we're living in that age now in which we are absolutely, definitely living in the last hour, the last minute, the last second, because the Middle East is getting ready to be stirred up. And God is going to permit it to be stirred up, because Satan is trying to prevent the return of Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I say? I'm saying Satan is trying to prevent the return of Jesus Christ. He knows he's coming back. He is trying to get rid of the Jewish people by the Gentile nations, are trying to eliminate the Jewish people from the face of the earth, because the Jews is God's chosen people to bring the gospel at the end time. At the end time, the Jews will return to their rightful positions and preach the gospel. Listen to what I'm saying now. They will preach the gospel for absolutely 7 years. 7 years the Jews will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom from Jerusalem. That's where the gospel will be preached, from Jerusalem, by the Jewish people and by the two anointed prophets that the book of Revelation refers to as the gospel of the kingdom, the 144,000. Listen to what I'm saying. 144,000 will preach the first 3 1/2 years. 3.5 years, and they will be preaching that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back to this earth to set up the millennial kingdom and to rule and reign. And he's sending Moses and Elijah back to reconcile Israel back to God, because when they preach at the last part of the 3.5 years, it's going to turn the world upside down completely. The population of the earth is going to be mad. They're going to be mad. They're going to try to blot out the Jewish people. They're going to try to blot out Moses and Elijah. They're going to try to blot out the 144,000, but they can't touch it. They can't touch them. They will not touch it. So all this year war that's going over in Jerusalem right now is behind Satan's plot and his plan to try to defeat the great God of Zion, trying to defeat Jehovah Jireh, trying to defeat Jehovah Shalom, trying to defeat the Messiah, trying to defeat the one that comes from Edom with thy garments on, trying to defeat the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to prevent him from coming back to this earth to rule and reign. But he don't have no problem. He don't have a chance to stop God. And that's what we're going to talk about. The great fight. The great fight of all battles of the world, all battles of the eons and the ions, is going to be between God and Satan and man in between. Because God is fighting for souls to save, and Satan is fighting to damn souls. So Satan is trying to prevent mankind from coming back to God through the blood of the cross. But he can't stop it. He can't stop it because Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Anybody that want to be saved, anybody that want to be sanctified, anybody that want to return from their wicked ways and repent of their sins, got to come to the cross. If you reject the cross, listen to what I'm saying. If you reject the blood of Jesus Christ and you deny the blood of Jesus Christ and you refute the blood of Jesus Christ, and you die without receiving Christ in your life, you will lift up your eyes in hell. H-E-L-L. Hell. Hell is a place that's prepared for the devil and his angels, because Satan is going to have to suffer throughout eternity after eternity after eternity after eternity. Why? Because he is a fallen cherubim that has been cast out from heaven thousands of years ago, and he's been ruling and reigning on this earth, destroying and trying to destroy mankind. But God said, I will save many as I can for those that want to be saved. You got to want to be saved. You got to want to come to God. You got to repent of your sin. You got to turn from your wicked ways. You got to cry out for the blood of Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death to come to Christ. And if you come to Christ willingly, if you repent willingly, if you come down on your sin bending knees and call on the name of Jesus Christ, guess what? Christ will come into your life by a repentant spirit. You got to be broken up for your low down, rotten sins that you have committed against a holy, righteous God. God is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And anything that God works on, he makes it holy. And if God has not been working on you, then you're not holy. And the only way that he can work on you is through the blood and the burial and the death and the resurrection of his only son. And the only son is the begotten son of God, which means that God himself became flesh. And you want to know who Jesus is? Well, Jesus Christ automatically is God Almighty in the flesh, because it was only God that was able to become man. And when he became man, he became an adoption into the human race. That was the only way that God could bring man back to God, to bring man back to God himself. There was no other sacrifice. There was no other way that God could bring man back to God but through himself. And so God had to become flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. So if you want to come to Jesus Christ, you got to come by the blood and the cross. You got to come by his suffering. You got to come by his death. You got to come by his resurrection. You got to come by faith, because faith is a substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. And if you don't have it, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder for those that seek him. And the world today is not seeking God. The world today says we can do without God. The world today is saying, I don't need the blood of Christ. The world today is saying, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And if you die in believing that he's not the Son of the living God, then you got to pay for your own sins. You got to pay for your lying, your whoremongering. You got to pay for your cheating, your backbiting. You got to pay for your gambling. You got to pay all your sins. You got to pay for every sin that you ever done if you die without Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That means you got to pay for your own sins. And since the wages of sin is death, that means you are going to be what? Separated from God. Separated from God forever. Because hell was not made for mankind. Hell was not made for mankind. I'll say it again. Hell was not made for mankind. Hell was made and prepared for the devil and his angel to be punished, eternal punishment, for everlasting punishment, for the rebellion that Satan done in heaven. He rebelled against God. He, what you say, preacher? I said he rebelled against God Almighty, a holy, righteous God. And because he rebelled, God rebuked him from heaven. He dethroned him from his position, and he took one-third of the angelic beings, one-third of the angelic, I'll say that again, one-third of the angelic beings became demons, became evil spirits, became fallen ones. And Satan took one-third of the angelic angels that became demons, and now he is control of mankind upon this earth. Satan got mankind. Satan has mankind, and he refused to let mankind come to Jesus Christ, because if mankind would turn from Satan and come to Jesus Christ, you wouldn't have this killing. You wouldn't have this murder. You wouldn't have this child pornography. You wouldn't have adultery. You wouldn't have none of this mess that's going on in the world today, because everybody would have a heart just like Jesus. And so Satan says, if I can keep mankind away from the blood of Jesus Christ, I got him. I got them. I got the low. I got the whites. I got the blacks. I got the Chinese. I got the Japanese. I got every nation under the heavens. I got them by my clutches. And as long as I can keep them away from the blood of Christ and repenting of their sin and turning from their wicked ways, if I can keep them until they die without Jesus Christ, I got everybody that died without Jesus Christ in their life. So if you want to go to heaven, if you want to see Jesus, if you want to live with Jesus forever, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have peace the rest of your life, you got to come to Jesus Christ. Because if you don't come to Jesus Christ, you're going to have nothing but misery, lost forever in a dark, hot lava lake of fire forever, cause God says through his son Jesus Christ, if you don't let me pay for your sins, if you don't accept my burial, death, and the resurrection, if you don't accept my suffering and my love that I have for your soul, and you go on and die without the redemption plan of Jesus Christ by his shed blood, you will have to pay for your own sins. And the only way you can pay is that you die and go to hell, because you will not let Jesus Christ come into your life, because he's the only man. Good God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the only man that died and came back to earth on his own power. He paid the penalty for every sin that you can ever commit. He paid the price, and it cost him his death. They killed the Son of God. They killed his son, Jesus Christ. They killed God Almighty in the flesh, not in the spirit, because you can't kill God. You can't kill it. He has no beginning, and he has no end. So in other words, in order for Jesus to die, he had to become flesh. And that flesh, inside of that flesh was God himself. Ooh! Inside of that human body was God himself. He felt what it was like to be like a man. He felt the pain. He knew what sin did to him. He knew and never felt what sin could do until he became a sin offering. And what he did, he was willing enough to take all my sins, all my lying, all my backbiting, all my whoremongering, all my cheating, all my killing, all the sin that you can ever think of that a human race could do, and he became a sin offering. And that sin offering cost him his death. And his death was crucial. His death was unbelievable, what they did to Jesus Christ when they hung him on that cross. Oh, they hung him high and they stretched him wide. They hung him so high that heaven had to move back. They stretched him so high until hell began to have convulsion and shook, that they couldn't understand what was going on, because never a man died like this that shook hell. Woo! You talking about sin is mean. Sin is cruel. And if you want to know how cruel it is, look at our condition of our world today. Look at it. Look how our babies are dying. Our babies are dying because men are aborting babies at the rate of 8 months. Look at our young people, how they dying under drugs and sex and all this year carnal living. Look at our condition of our families. Why? Because the devil's out to destroy the families, the community. He's out to destroy anything that get in his way. And one thing, Satan, he hates God Almighty with a passion. He hates God so much that he's willing enough to try to defeat his son, Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, he can't touch Jesus Christ. Woo! He thought he could whoop Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation. He said, if you be the Son of God, cast these stones into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He took him up a little higher and said, now, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down and lest your foot dash against the stone, the Lord God will lift you up. And the Lord said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He took him to another pinnacle and he said, now, if you be the Son of God, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll give you the kings of the other world. I'll give you the Babylonian Empire. I'll give you the Median Persian Empire. I'll give you the Grecian Empire. I'll give you the Roman Empire. I'll give you the Egyptian Empire. I'll give you the Syrian Empire. If you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord God in him only. So the world is trying to tell, Jesus is trying to tell the world, don't worship nobody else but Jesus Christ. Don't bow down to Baal. Don't bow down to Ashtaroth. Don't bow down to no false god. And don't have no other god before me. There's only one God. Only one God. God the Father, one. God the Son, only one. God the Holy Ghost, and you add God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and you get one, because they're all co-equal. They're all the same, but they're in different manifestations. And the manifestation of the Father, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, the Son, and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And when Jesus Christ came down to earth, that was God in the flesh. When he went back to heaven and sent the Father, sent the Holy Ghost in his Father's name, that was the Father in the Spirit, but it's the Holy Ghost. They're all one. There's not no three gods. There's only one God. And if you want to get to God, you've got to come by Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you can never be saved. You've got to confess with your mouth, and you've got to believe with your heart. And what we in today now, we in a terrible time like never before the history of the human race. The human race is getting ready to go through what? The seven-year tribulation. Oh, you may not understand it. You may not see it, but it is on its way because men today are lax in the word of God. Men today are trying to destroy the Bible. They're trying to destroy the Jewish people. They're trying to destroy the Christian, but you can't destroy nothing that God has set up because Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church has been built, and the church is almost finished because we're living in the last church age, and just before Jesus Christ comes, the church will fall into a Laodicean church age. You got a lot of people in the house today that confess that they are Christians, but they have never had a divine relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, many shall come in my name, saying, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied? Lord, have not we cast out devil? Lord, have not we did miracles? And did he said, look, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't even know you. There's a lot of people say they know God, but God said, I don't know you. And this is the one that's going to many go in there at, because we're in that church age now where the devil is trying to take the place of God. This Antichrist that's coming is alive today. And the world is, they say, where is this Antichrist coming from? And who is he? What is he going to do? How is he going to do it? He's going to do it through Lucifer, the son of the morning. When does this thing get started? I'm going to read out of the book of what? Isaiah, the 14th chapter. And I'm going to show you exactly how this thing got started. How sin got started. I'm going to show you what's going to be the end of sin. And I'm going to tell you how you can get saved from sin. I'm going to tell you that the only one that you can be saved from sin is Jesus Christ. Because all the denominations, all the false prophets, all the cold, the are trying to claim salvation. There's only one man that can claim true salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. In the book of Isaiah, the evangelistic prophet, he writes in the 14th chapter at the 12th verse. Here's where it all started in the beginning. Listen to what Isaiah wrote down in the inspiration of God Almighty. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, known today as the Luciferians. Luciferian comes from the word Lucifer. Lucifer comes from God creating Lucifer by speaking him into existence. In the beginning, Lucifer was a holy angel. He was a holy cherubim. He was the most beautiful angel that God Almighty ever created. Nobody be above Lucifer was so beautiful, and nobody below Lucifer so beautiful. He was gorgeous. He was an anointed cherubim. He was one of the most gorgeous angels that God ever made, created. He spoke him into existence in the book of Isaiah. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? Mean he was bright. He had illuminating lights. And illuminating lights, you get the word Illuminati. Illuminati is the original word, means light barrier. So this word Illuminati means light barrier. They bring light, but it's darkness. They make things look bright, but it's actually damnable. He makes things look good, but it's actually evil. Everything that look good don't mean it's good. Ooh, a beautiful woman can look good. Yes, indeed. But she could be evil underneath. Woo, things can look good to the natural eye, but behind all that beauty, there's debauchery and evil and sinful nature. Why? Because Satan comes as an angel of light. How art thou cut down to what? The ground, at the bottom of the ground, which did weaken the nation. Isaiah said Lucifer was so powerful that when he fell, he weakened all nations. All nations on earth are weak. They're frail. They can't do nothing right without God, and they prefer to do everything without God. That's why America is in a mess. That's why Russia is in a mess. That's why Israel is in a mess, because they won't come turn to the Lord God Almighty. That's why the nations of the world and the heathen nations are so messed up. It's because they've turned their back on God. And the only nation that God ever used on the face of this earth. You hear what I said? The only nation God used on the face of this earth to show the heathen nation that there's only one God Almighty, the omnipotent one, is the Jewish people. Jewish people is the example of the true God. They're the only ones that God introduced the nation of Israel to. Israel was an example to all the other heathen nations that there's only one God that rules and super rules the universe. There's only one God that came from nowhere, because there was nowhere for him to come, because he's everywhere. And since he's everywhere and there's nowhere that he could come from, he's the beginning and he is the end. He's the first and he's the last. And nobody don't order him. Nobody don't tell him what to do. Nobody can't tell him what not to do, for he's all God all by himself. And whatever he do, let me tell you, he know what he's doing. So when Lucifer was in heaven, he was the archangel of the chief cherubims. And he was the protector of God's throne. That's his position. And he was a choir, a music director. He was a choir director to all the angels. Woo! That's a high position, brother. That's a high position. No other angel had that position but Lucifer. And by Lucifer having that position, God gave him that position. And he told him, I'm going to give you the chief angel of all the angels. I'm going to give you the direction on what to do with them. I want you to bring them before my throne. I want you to, bring the music forth. I'm going to give you music in your walk. I'm going to give you music in your talk. I want you to be the number one choir director and tell the angels to give me praises. And God said, praise me. And Lucifer will tell the angels, praise God. Praise God Almighty. Praise God Almighty, from whom all blessings flow. From all the blessings flow from him. All the goodness flow from God. Everything that's good flows from God. Ooh, everything that's evil flows from Satan. And Satan says this, how art thou cut down to the ground, which weaken the nation? So all the nations of the earth is weak. We are weak. We are frail. We are made out of the clay of the earth. We don't live until about 80 years. Our body is frail. We grow old. Oh, my God, my God. We only here for a short time. We are made out of the dust of the earth. God breathed into our nostrils. We became a living soul. And this Isaiah prophecy now switches from the Antichrist to an unholy sponsor. Satan himself. Lucifer is the name of Satan. Actually, an angel originally created by God. And the word created means to take nothing, absolutely nothing, and speak nothing into existence, and something comes out of nothing by God's word, God's power, by God's omnipotence, by God's omnipresence. God spoke to nothing, and nothing came out of nothing, which brought forth Lucifer. When Lucifer came forth, God said, now this is my design that I made you, made him holy and made him beautiful. Actually, he is an angel originally created by God who served the Lord in righteousness for an undetermined period of time. I don't know how long Lucifer lasted, but he didn't last long enough to continue what God had a plan. He bungled his own plan up. What happened? When he fell, he led a revolution against who? God. Satan is against God. Satan can't stand God. Satan hates God. He's resentful of God. He's jealous of God. He's mad at God. He will be mad at him for eternity. In hell, Satan will be mad at God. He's mad at God right now. He's mad at the born-again baptized believer in the true church. He hates Christians. He hates Christians. He hates born-again believer, blood-washed ones that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He hates the Jewish people. And the reason he hates the Jewish people, because Abraham was a man of faith. And through Abraham came Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 tribe of Israel. And Israel was a focal point of God using the nation of Israel for the nations of the world to show all the heathen nations that there's only one God that's above all gods. And not only that, but he gave Israel the power to write the Holy Script. And as the Jews are the only ones that wrote the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible was written by Jews. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Get it? Satan rebuked you in the name of Jesus. The Jews, through holy men, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, God implanted his Holy Spirit in the Jewish prophets, and they wrote exactly what would happen in the last days. They wrote the first coming of Jesus Christ. They wrote about his suffering. They wrote about his death. They wrote about his resurrection. They wrote about everything about Jesus for man to know and put it in the script and told the nations of the world, this is the one that's going to be able to redeem mankind from sin, death, hell, and the grave. The Jews did that. And through the Jews, guess who came? The Messiah. Jesus Christ came through the Jewish nations. 42 generations from Abraham all the way down to the last book in the Old Testament, which was Malachi. And Malachi closed and said, let me before the Son of Man comes back to the earth, they tell me the fathers shall turn the fathers and the hearts shall turn the children into the children, and they shall be what? Redeem the nation of Israel. Three things that the Jews, God gave credit. That was the Holy Bible written by the Jews. Jesus Christ came down to the Jewish nation. They tell me God chose the Jews to be the only people on the planet to represent him. And by the failure that the Jews have went through, God said, I'm not through with them yet. I got another task for them to do. Although down through 2,600 years ago, man, the Jews were scattered all over the face of the earth because of the rebellion against the great God of Zion, and God put them under chastisement, and he chastised them from 606 B.C. all the way over to 1948. The Jews were scattered all over the face of the earth. Nobody didn't know where they were until 1948, and when 1948 came, God said, now I'm going to redeem the Jewish people back into the land. Uh-oh. 1948, that was a terrific year. That was the year of years. That is the year in which the Jewish nation became a nation for the first time over the period of 2,600 years. The Jews were scattered all over the face of the earth. Satan said, I'm going to get rid of the Jew. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to board them. I'm going to stretch them. I'm going to put them in oil. I'm going to hang them. I'm going to get rid of every Jew because I can't stand them. Satan said, I got to get rid of them because if I don't get rid of them, God will defeat me. And Satan said, if he send when Christ came, he said, if he send Christ down here, I'm going to kill him. Well, he thought by killing Jesus Christ, Satan thought by killing Jesus Christ, he could pick the battle, but by killing Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, they tell me on the third day morning, he got up without power in heaven and earth in his hand, and now he's ruling and reigning in heaven, and guess what? He's getting ready to redeem mankind. And the Jews today got to go through one more persecution. All the dictators of the world that ever was born tried to get rid of the Jews. Hitler was number one. Tried to get rid of the Jews. 6 million Jews he slaughtered and killed and murdered and boiled and ground up into fertilizer. He mutilated the Jewish nation almost to a point where he eliminated the whole race. But he couldn't do it because God said, these are my people. These are the ones that I was able to use by the faith of Abraham. Abraham was a powerful man. He wasn't just a sheep herder. He was a powerful man. And God said, by Abraham's faith, I'm going to bring the Savior into the world. Why? Because of Abraham's faith. Abraham believed God and was imputed to him for righteousness' sake. And because God loved Abraham, amen, and Abraham was obedient to his will, God said, out of thee shall come a Savior. Out of thee shall come a Redeemer. Out of thee shall come a rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. They tell me out of Abraham became Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot 12 sons, and one of his sons was named Judah. He said, now the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and there shall be all the people be gathered to be. What was he talking about? He was talking about the Savior that was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, stayed on earth for 33.5 years, ascended on Calvary's mountain, and he was hung high and stretched wide and hung on the cross for six long hours, from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. They hung him. Oh, did they hang him? They hung him, and he died on Calvary's cross and dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder. And they tell me hell was trying to rejoice, but there was something about the death of Jesus Christ. It was the only death that a man died, that he got up after he had died. No other man. Oh, Lord have mercy. No other man ever died and came back from death on his own power. And somebody said, can you name anybody? Well, I can name him, but it won't do no good. I know some righteous men that died, but they never came back. How about old Abel? He died, but he never came back. How about old Samson? He died, but he never came back. How about Moses? He died, but he never came back. How about Isaiah? He died and he never came back on his own power. Ezekiel died, but he never came back. Jeremiah died, and Daniel died, and Malachi died, and Isaiah died, and Hosea died, and Habakkuk died, and Zechariah died, and Zephaniah died. Also righteous men in the Old Testament died, but they never come back. So, and because they couldn't come back, there was no hope for salvation. No hope for salvation until it came the fullness of time. God sent his own son down through 42 generations. Here comes the action. Only one man, God man, God in man. And Satan says, I want to be like God. Let's see what he says. Here's what got Satan in trouble. Until this day, he's still trying to defeat God. He's trying to destroy the church, but he can't destroy it because Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What kind of church you talking about? I'm talking about a sanctified church, I'm talking about a blood-bought church. I'm talking about a redeemed church. I'm talking about a church, not a denominational name that's going to get you to heaven. No, 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 no. A name of a church can't get you to heaven. And Satan got all kind of names for all kind of churches and all kind of denominations. And I ain't got nothing against denominations as long as they teaching the full fundamentals and the word of God. If they're teaching holiness and the blood of Jesus Christ, if they're teaching the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if they're teaching repentance of sin and being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then that's biblical doctrines. That's the doctrine of the Bible. If they're teaching that God Almighty is Jesus Christ in the flesh and he came down here and died for humanity, that's Bible doctrine. If he's teaching holiness by the sanctification of the blood of Jesus Christ, if he's teaching the rapture, which is the word of God, if he's teaching the 7-year tribulation, that's the word of God. If he's teaching the millennium reign, if he's teaching the judgment of God, if he's teaching the doctrines of hell, what will happen if you go to hell? And the worst thing is you will be tormented forever and ever and ever. Yeah, it's not a happy thing. It's not something to rejoice over, because when Christ died, he died so that you won't have to go to hell. But if you reject him and don't receive the sanctification of the blood of Jesus Christ, then you will have to die for your own sins. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you leave this planet, I don't care who you are, you can belong unto an occult. And if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. If you die under the New Age movement, you're going to hell. If you die under the Buddha, you're going to hell. If you die under the rituals of Judaism, you're going to die and go to hell. Listen to me what I'm saying now. If you die under Shintoism, you're going to hell. If you die under Mormonism, you're going to hell. If you die under unity, you're going to hell. If you die under Satanism, you're going to hell. If you die under Lutheran and don't receive Christ, you're going to hell. If you die under Christian Scientist, you're going to hell. If you die under Jehovah's Witness, you're going to hell. If you die under Nazarene and Islam and Methodism and Fascism and Catholicism and the non-denomination, you're going to hell. If you die under the Church of God, you're going to hell. If you die under Baptist, you're going to hell. You're going to hell if you die under the KKK. You die under Nazism, you're going to hell. You die under Armstrongism and voodoo and witchcraft and lesbianism and homosexuality, you're going to hell. If you die under the apostolic faith, and if you don't get saved in the apostolic faith, you're going to hell. If you die under the Church of God in Christ, you're going to hell. You die under Confucianism, you're going to hell. I'm saying this, you're going to hell not because you're in a denomination. You're going to hell because you refuse to receive Christ in your life, the one that shed his blood on Calvary cross, the one that was beaten with 39 stripes, the one that hung on Calvary's cross for 6 long hours, the one that says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You're not going to hell because you're bad. You're not going to hell because you're good. You're going to hell because you reject. You hear what I said? I'm a Baptist, but actually I'm not a Baptist. A Baptist is a name, John the Baptist. No Baptist died for me. Now, you understand what I'm saying? I'm under non-denom. No non-denom did die for me. Huh? Come on, y'all. Come on. The atheism. They didn't die. They don't even believe there is a God. They're going to hell. Period. The New Age movement. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't teach the Bible. They don't live the Bible. Judaism was the closest thing to ever in the Bible that God used. Judaism for 3,000 years. Judaism was in office. They offered sacrifice animals under Judaism. They kill animals. They kill sheep and goats and red heifers. And took the blood into the holies of holies. The high priest would take the blood and sprinkle it over the Ark of the Covenant for the atonement for the people's sins. That was used for about 3,000 years. But it's not used no more. It can't use no more. Why? God eliminated that. How did God eliminate something he started? God eliminated it because Judaism was a type and shadow of a better what? Sacrifice. The better, the only ultimate sacrifice. Who was a sacrifice? God Almighty sacrificed himself through his own son. Became flesh. Became human. Like a man. Had a blood system. Had veins and capillaries. Had a heartbeat. Come on, had eyes and walked like a man, talked like a man, and moved like a man. And he was a man. He was God, eternal one, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Satan met him on the Mount of Temptation. When he met him on the Mount of Temptation, he was defeated right there. He was defeated because he knew who he was dealing with. He tried to convince him, fall down and worship me, because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to worship him. He wants you to worship sex. He wants you to worship gambling. He wants you to worship your car. He wants you to worship your mama, your daddy, your sister, your dog, your cat. He wants you to worship movie stars. He wants you to worship everything other than God Almighty, because if you worship anything other than God Almighty in the spirit, you are lost. You are undone. You're on your way to hell. You need to be redeemed. You need to be brought back in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way you can get back with Jesus Christ, you can't go to the priest no more. You can't go to the animals no more. You can't go to the bullocks no more. You can't go to the sheep no more. You can't go to the turtle dove no more. No, 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 no. You can't go to nobody but the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. And the Lamb of God signifies Jesus Christ. And there's over 300 names in the Word of God that gives Jesus his name. But his main name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one and the only one that hung on Calvary. And when he hung on Calvary, Satan says, I got him now. I got him. I got him. And when he died, he's going to come to hell. And when he come to hell, I'm going to hold him. I'm going to keep him down there. He thought he could keep him down there, but because he kept all the other patriarchs down there, all of them. He kept Ruth down there. He kept Esther down there. He kept Job down there. He kept all those patriarchs. All those men that live for God, they stayed in hell. Now, don't get me wrong. Hell got two apartments. Hell, Hades, and then there's a lake of fire. And then there's paradise. In the Old Testament, paradise was an apartment, a place where all the righteous Old Testament saints went. That's where they went. When they died before Christ, they would go to paradise. That was a waiting period room for all the righteous that died in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, that's where they went. The wicked went to a place called hell, which is on the other side of the great pit. There's a pit between paradise and Hades. All the wicked dead go to Hades. All the righteous dead in the Old Testament time go to paradise. They could not go in the presence of God. Ooh, listen to this. They could not go into the presence of God until somebody could take their sins away. somebody had to take their sins away and destroy the sin they committed in the Old Testament, because the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves could not eliminate sin. It was a covering. It was a covering until the fullness of time come that the ultimate sacrifice would come. And the ultimate sacrifice is only and the only one, the only true one, Jesus Christ, had to die. God himself manifested in the flesh, tasted death for every man. They crucified him and hung him like a piece of meat, hanging. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They embarrassed him. They rendezvoused him. They licked their tongues at him. They slapped him. They beat him. They beat him so bad that they couldn't even recognize, is this the Messiah? Is this the Holy One? Why in the world would he let these people do him like that? What could he do other than let them people do that? And the answer is, he couldn't do nothing. He laid down his life. Ooh, good God Almighty. Could you understand what I'm trying to tell you? God had the only way to redeem man. There's no other God will even think of this. There's only one God. And God himself had this plan before the foundations of the world, and Satan didn't know it. And Satan thought he could just overthrow God and take the world and mess it up and do all kind of dirt and low down dirty stuff and go back up on the throne of God and sit on the throne of God and rule in tyranny. And he thought he could do that when he killed Christ. But you know something? People say the Jews killed Christ. But you know something? Some say the Gentiles killed Christ. But you know something? Who actually killed Christ? You want to know, actually, it was Satan working through the Jewish nations and through the Gentile nations that killed Christ. Satan instigated that. Satan said, if I can kill him, there's no way he could get up on his own power. But see, he didn't know who he was dealing with. He was dealing with the creator, the maker of all mankind, the one that called the stars off by name, the one that can stretch his hand out to heaven and cause the moon to go out, the one that can clap his hand and the sparks from his hand can create stars. He don't know who he was dealing with. He was dealing with the Almighty. Satan is mighty, but God is almighty. He's an everlasting father. He's my father. And if you want a real father, try Jesus Christ. He'll become your father, your mother, your sister, and your brother. So what I'm saying denominationalism, there's no salvation in denominationalism. There's no salvation in occults. There's no salvation in the Illuminati's. There's no salvation in the Baal, the Baals and the Baals and the false gods. There's no salvation in nothing, no other name given among men where men can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, Satan thought he had the victory. And he ain't never had the victory. The only victory that he have is all those that reject the blood of Jesus Christ and follow Satan. He got the victory over there. But those that accept Jesus Christ, he is doomed. Satan is doomed for hell. And now, before the resurrection of Jesus Christ came, they tell me all the patriarchs, all the righteous men that died never got up out of the grave on their own power. So they could not go before God in heaven until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because nobody could pay. Nobody could pay for their own sins or nobody else's sins. Low down, dirty, rotten sins. Sins of abomination, sins of blasphemy, sins of killing and murder, sins of homosexual, sins of adultery and fornication, sin everywhere, sin in man, sin around man, sin underneath man. Here comes Jesus Christ, sinless, perfect, God himself, holy, who knew no sin, who could not sin, but became sin. He took my place and paid for my, wait a minute, what you say? He paid for my sins. Do you understand that? Sinner man, don't you know when Christ died, he paid for your sins? There ain't enough gold in heaven. Ain't enough gold or silver or brass or jewels or diamond or whatever precious stone you can find that could pay for your sins. Even God couldn't make a diamond good enough to pay for your sin. He couldn't make gold enough to pay. Ooh, he couldn't do it. The only way God could redeem man was through his blood. He gave his life and he opened up the fountain of everlasting life and paid the debt of sin. It cost him his life. But because he had power enough to pick up his own life and he had power enough to lay it down. And Jesus said, you ain't taking nothing from me. I'm giving this. And that's why John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The devil said, I hate that verse. I hate that verse. I hate all the verses in the Bible. I hate them all. I don't like none of them because when they read the word of God, it cuts the devil to flight. It cuts him up. It tears him down. It rips him to threads. Why? Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut down to the marrow of the bone and the discerner of a man's thought. The word of God will straighten your back up. The word of God will straighten your mind up. The word of God will straighten your attitude up. The word of God will sanctify you and cleanse you from all sins that you can stand before a holy God. Because if the only way you can stand there, holy God, the only way you can stand before a holy God without spot or wrinkle is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the songwriter says nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away my sins. So when Christ went down into hell, he preached to all those in prison. And he told them, I come to redeem. He met Satan and all his imps. And all his demons and all his cohorts. And they had the gall enough. Ooh, they had the gall enough to try to hold him down there. They tried to hold the very God of the universe down there. When the earth is full of his glory. They tried to say, hey, look, we got to hold you because if we lose grip, the devil took the angels to hell school. He said, now look, he's coming. And when he come down here, we've got to hold him. We got to. If we don't hold him in the grave from here to eternity, if we can't hold him, guess what? We lost. 3 days they had an opportunity to hold him, but they couldn't grip him. Yeah. Corruption was standing on the sideline, and death had his hand folded. And corruption said, hey, death, if you hold him, you got to hold him 30 days. If you can hold him 30 days. If you hold him 30 days, I'll tell you one thing. I will corrupt him. I will cause the worms to eat his body. I will deteriorate his bones and his muscles. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? Corruption said, I can corrupt anything to come in this grave. And he said, now, if you can hold this man, I know you'll hail all the patriarchs. You hail all the wicked. Now, if you hold this man for 30 days, I'm ad-libbing this now. 30 days, I got it. Because if you don't come back from the dead in 30 days, you is dead, because the Jews had a tradition. If you don't come back in 4 days, you're dead. And the Jews say you're not really dead until after 3 days. If you stay 4 days, you're dead. But I'm saying 30 days, because when they were dealing with Jesus Christ, woo! You talking about power, locomotive power, dynamite power, ATA, beyond AT&C bomb power, atomic bomb. And there is a bomb that comes from Gilead with all power to save the wretched whoremongrel. The most wretched whores are standing on the street with no hope. Power to save them. The alcoholics, save them from sin, death, hell, and the grave if they will submit themselves to Jesus Christ and say, I'm done with sin. I hate sin. I hate the devil. If you hate the devil's sin and all this stuff that you've been doing and turn from your wicked ways and your attitude and say, Lord, I give up. I can't do it myself. I don't want to go to hell. I'll tell you one thing. If you really mean it and repent of your sin, I'll tell you one thing. Jesus Christ will save your soul. And death said, all right, I'm going to go down here where he at and see if I can hold him. And death couldn't grip him. Couldn't grip him. Every time he would go, the devil would be grabbing nothing but air. He couldn't grip him. And you can't grab air. You can't grab a spirit. You can't touch a spirit. But let me tell you, God can touch your spirit. And death, at the end of the 3 days, death said, I can't do it, corruption. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The knees of Satan begin to shake and all the demons in hell begin to cry, but no tears. They cry because they knew that they had been defeated by the Son of God. Because on that third day morning, early Sunday morning, Jesus Christ came out of the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. He said, now I got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I took them off of Satan. And the reason he took them off of Satan, because he had paid the penalty for George E. Bizard. Good God Almighty. Paid the penalty for the mailman and the postman. Paid the penalty for the preachers and the deacons and the sisters in the church if they come to Christ. He paid the penalty. Now I can walk in Jesus Christ. And on the third day morning, Jesus Christ came out of the grave, and guess what? Nobody was there to help him. Nobody. He didn't need nobody. God don't need nobody to help him. He's self-existent. He's self-empowered. He's the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. He will never, never change. He will never die again. He will never suffer again. He will never be able, amen, to come down here no more, and suffer for mankind. All the suffering's been done. It's over now. And all those that come to him can live with him forever. And ever, and ever, and ever. And what you got? More ever. And after that, more ever. Forever with Jesus Christ. Why? Because God is eternal. And he's got eternal joy, eternal love, eternal mercy. All the blessings that God has for those that love him and love his appearing. He's got it all waiting for you. Only thing you got to do is let the Lord know that Lord God Almighty, I need your son. I need your son. to come into my life and change me for what I am, because I'm miserable. I'm miserable. I don't care how much you drink. I don't care how many sex organs you have. I don't care how much you gamble. I don't care how many women you got. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care about that, because it will never satisfy your soul. The only thing that can satisfy your soul is Jesus Christ. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they cut God off. God had no more control of the human race. And man was cut off from God. And the human race today is cut off from God. That's why you got killings and murders and rape. That's why the world is going haywire. That's why people have a form of godliness and no power. That's why you got racial discrimination and racial hatred. That's why, because man's been cut off from God. And what they need the Holy Ghost in their lives to change their attitude and change that old life into a new life that you can walk just like Jesus Christ, because Christ loves everybody. You don't hear me. Christ loves everybody. Satan hates that. Satan hates that. And since he hates that, this is what he's trying to do. When he failed, he had led a revolution against God with about one-third of the angels. It seems thrown in their lot with him. The one-third threw in their lot with and went with Satan. Therefore, all the pain, listen now, all the pain, suffering, misery, headaches, death, deception, which have ruled the nations from the very beginning, can be laid at the doorstep of this revelation headed up by Satan. That's why you got killing. That's why you got storms. That's why you got tornadoes. Why? Because when Satan fell, that's what he brought with him. He was degraded into debauchery. He can't do nothing but three things in his whole created life, and that is to kill, listen to me, rob, and destroy. And he is trying to destroy the human race. And men today that are influenced by Satan is trying to get rid of the populations of the earth. Why do you think men have wars? Satan wants to kill, rob, and destroy. Why do you think the coronavirus and smallpox and all these diseases and homosexuals and HIV and syphilis and gonorrhea and all these diseases that's spreading over the face of the earth? Why do you think you're here, man? Because Satan is a disease carrier. He ain't got nothing good for you. He ain't got a thing good for you. Why do you think men beat on their wives and beat on their children? Why do you think men have babies and don't want to take care of? Satan said, I don't give. What? Come on now. Be honest with me. I don't give a damn. I'm going to get my pleasures of life. I don't give nothing. I don't care nothing about that baby. You run out of here and have more babies on top of more babies and think you're doing something. But there's a day coming when judgment will hit this earth. And when it hit it, good God Almighty, I feel sorry. I feel sorry for those that don't know Jesus Christ. Because Satan is what? I'll say it again. Satan, therefore, brought all the pain, all the suffering, all the misery, all the death, all the headache, all the deception, which have ruled the nations from the very beginning, and he laid at the doorstep of his revolution headed by Satan. And now we are coming to the close of the sixth millennium. The next millennium is called the seventh millennium. And at the same time, this is what caused Satan to fall. This is what he said. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. That's one. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is what he's talking now. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. Ah, there you go. Ah, that's all he can say. Ah, and that's all people saying today. Ah, look at me, myself, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Satan wants to be like God. And by him wanting to be like God, his last effort to be like God is when the Antichrist arrives. He's getting ready to arrive on this earth now. And he will have that same motive, attitude that he had back there in Isaiah 14 and 12. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation of the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height. I thought he was a raw-headed devil. Anytime he told see people talking about I, me, myself, and I, look what I done done. And let me tell you, if you ain't doing it through Christ, it ain't nothing. You can be the greatest football star. If you can be the greatest basketball star. You can be the greatest movie star. You can be the smartest man in the world. If Christ ain't it, and Christ is not in you, you're living in vain. Because if you're living without Christ, your life is vain. You're living for yourself. Solomon gave us a warning. Solomon gave us a warning. Solomon said, I tried everything. I tried everything. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to get some scriptures up in here. Amen. And let you know what Solomon gave us, what life consists of. Amen. Solomon said in the book of Solomon, it reads like this. In the book of Ecclesiastes. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let me get it. I rebuke you, Satan, right now. You don't want me to find this, but I'm going to get it. Amen. In the book of Ecclesiastes. Amen. Listen here. People today want to have fun. They don't want to recognize they got a soul. Look here, the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanity, says the preacher. Vanities of vanity, all is vanity. What profit a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also arises, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to the place where he arose. And he said, now look here. The wind goes towards the south and turns about towards the north and whirls about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuit. And then the preacher says in the 12th verse, I, the preacher, was king of Jerusalem. I gave my heart and to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This is sore travail that God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, vexation of the spirit. Then he said, which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I come to the great estate, and have gotten more wisdom, this is Solomon, than all that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yet my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in such wisdom, much grief came. And he that increases in knowledge increases sorrow. What is he saying? He's saying all the knowledge in the world, all the materialistic things in the world, everything, it is vanity, vexation of the spirit. It'll make you sick. He said, I said in my heart, go to now, and I'll prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Go enjoy your pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doth it? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, yet acquainted my heart with wisdom, and lay to hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Listen, he said, I made me great works. I build me houses. I planted me vineyard. I made me gardens. This is Solomon getting everything, everything he wants, everything. And I plant me trees, them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants. I got me manservants. I got me servants born in my house. I had great possession. I had great small and small cattle, and above all that were in Jerusalem. I gathered me silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and providence. I got me men singers and women singers and delight of the sons of men as musical instrument and all that of sort. So I was great, ceased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, also my wisdom remaining with me. Whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. This is Solomon now. Withheld from my heart and from any joy. My heart rejoices in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. And then he said, and then I looked on all the works that my hand had wrought and on all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said, and as I turned to myself, behold, wisdom and madness and folly. For what can a man do that cometh after the king, even that which he has been already done? And he comes to the last one, T verse. Yea, I hated my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it to the man that shall be hereafter. Ecclesiastes is a book of living and prosperity and what would satisfy the soul of man. Solomon said, I tried everything that a human being could try. And when he got ready to leave and go on his long journey, he said these words. This is what Solomon said. Solomon said in the 12th chapter, 13th verse and the 14th verse. 12th chapter, 12 and 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. My friends, what I'm trying to tell you, Satan says, live, man, live, party. Don't worry about your soul. Don't worry about this here crucifixion. Don't worry about this Jesus. Don't worry about his death and birth. And don't worry about just live and try to get all you can. Live in pleasure. Live what you want to get and get what you want. Do whatever you want to do. And Solomon said, after it's all over, and you get ready to leave this planet, you're going to end up saying, what shall I do now? What can satisfy my soul? Nothing but Jesus Christ. Because after you die and got all you got, But you didn't get one thing. You never accepted Christ. So when you die, you're going to get the other side of hell. And the other side of hell is to be separated from God because you put your salvation, you put your time in to live for yourself and not give your heart to Jesus Christ. And you died and you didn't ask Christ to come into your life, the only one that paid for your sins. And now you got to pay for your own sins. This is what Satan's plan is, to keep you away from Christ. Oh, go to church, good, that's good. I want you to go to church. But going to church ain't going to bring salvation. You can hear about salvation. You say, I'm good. You can be good all you want. Goodness ain't going to get you to heaven. You say, I got a good education. That won't get you to hell. You say, my mama, my daddy was missionary. That won't get you to hell. Nothing can get you into the kingdom of God but Christ himself. And when you humble yourself and repent of your sins and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. And Satan said, don't do it. Don't do it. You do it, I'll lose you. You do it, you go to heaven, and I'll have to go to hell. You do it, then I'm going to put you in a position and make it hard for you. And let me tell you, I don't care how hard some people say living a Christian is. I don't care how hard it gets. It will be worth it all at the end of your life to know that when you die and leave this planet, you'll know where you're going. Woo! And I'm not boasting on nothing I've done. I'm not boasting on nothing I do. I'm not going to heaven on my boast or how good I am. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ came into my life at the age of 9 years old. And he has kept me through every sin I have ever committed or done and forgave me and saved me forever. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell because hell was not prepared for me. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And now I can say hallelujah. If you will try Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you will never regret it. You'll never regret it. And all these evangelists and preachers going on telling you there's all kind of ways that you can come to Jesus Christ, all kind of ways you can get to heaven. There's only one way you can get to heaven. And you don't have to give me no money for me to tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth and don't want the money. I want you to acknowledge that Jesus Christ loves you more than anything in the world. And he don't want to see nobody go to hell. I don't want my worst enemy. I wouldn't want them to go to hell. Because let me tell you, there is a hell. There is a hell. Young folks are dying, going to hell. People going to church, dying, going to hell. Rich people dying, going to hell. Poor people dying, going to hell for one reason. They won't accept Christ and turn from sin and repent of their sin. Because let me tell you, the Bible says no sin will ever, ever, ever enter the kingdom of God. And if your soul has sinned, you're going to die. And the only thing that can cleanse your soul is what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Once and for all, seal you with the Holy Spirit. And you can be confident that when you leave this planet, whether you're young, middle-aged, old, you can know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be your home. Satan says, I got to prevent the whole world from getting to the cross. The devil said, I go to church. I put on my suit, wear my clothes, drive my fine car, give my offer. I'll do that, but have you repented? Do you have the love of God in your heart? I said, do you have the love of God in your heart? The only way you can have the love of God in your heart, you've got to accept Jesus Christ by faith and let the love of Jesus Christ through the blood and the Holy Spirit fill your heart with love, because God is love. The Bible says, if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. And the Bible says, 21st chapter of Revelation, and all liars will be cast into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. My friends, you don't want to go to hell. Don't let the devil take the plan that God done laid down for your soul. Don't let the devil steal and depreciate your salvation through Christ. Trust in him. Accept him. Let the world know that you know who Jesus is. Who is he? He's God Almighty. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. If you got Jesus Christ in you, you got God's power. You got God's spirit. You got God's love. You got God's joy. You got God's eternal life forever. Never die. Never die again. You don't have to put up with what? You don't have to put up with pain and suffering and misery and headaches and death and deception. Why Satan said, I'm going to bring it to earth. And now when he gets down on earth, he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In these two verses, we see the foreman of Satan rebellion and revolution against God. It seems like Lucifer, while true to the Lord, was given dominion over the earth, which was before Adam. After his fall, he worked deceitfully to get other angelic rulers to follow him in this war. Woo! Lucifer had a high position. Woo! And he bumped it. He ripped it apart. And God ripped him apart. And God's getting ready to bring him to judgment. And the world today is saying, no such thing. And the devil is lying. He's the biggest liar in the universe. He got more lies than Carter ever had little liver pills. He'll lie between his teeth. He'll lie in hell. He'll lie because no truth is in him. He became a liar because he wanted to take the place of God, and he can't get it. So he said, I'm going to lie the whole human race into damnation. But he'll never do it. After the fall, the 15th verse says, hey, Satan, Isaiah said, hey, Satan, I got something for you. The 15th verse says, yet you shall be brought down to where? Hell, to the sides of the pit. This will be the lot of Satan and all who seek to be like God, but in a wrong way, in effect, by making themselves God. The world is trying to make their own gods. They got their own God. They worship their own desire, not the true God, because God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're not worshiping God in his spirit, you can't get next to him. You got to have the spirit of God in your life and the yearning and the wooing of God's Holy Spirit to acknowledge that you walking in faith. And the world, 16th verse, they who see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who did shake the kingdom, the whole world, when judgment come and Satan will be put into the bottomless pit? The whole world going to ask the question, is this the man? For the last 6,000 years has made the world look like what it is now. And what the world look like now is misery. Misery all around you. And this is the man that has seen and going to see some more. Now, the prophecies reverse back to the Antichrist. We know this because it addresses him by saying, is this the man? When this Antichrist comes, when Satan's instrument comes, when the Son of Man comes, Son of Perdition comes, they're going to say, this is the man. And who is the man? The man today is the Antichrist. And he is alive. He's alive, my friend. And he is waiting for the position to rule the world in a process of 7 years. And when the world gets to a place where they're going to say, I don't care who come on the scene. I don't care what he said. Anything that can make the world better, we will accept it, whether it be God or whether it be the devil. And guess what? It's going to be the devil that the world going to say, is this the man that caused the world to shake and tremble? And guess what? This is the man alive today waiting for the foreplay that's getting ready to take. And the Bible tells me, my Bible tells me exactly what part of the world this man is going to arrive from. He's going to arrive from Western Europe. He's going to arrive for one of the nations that he is in right now. He is the king of a nation right now. He is the head of the seven toes, the seven horns, the seven kings, and the seven crowns. The nations of the world right now, he's the head of these nations. You say, well, what nations are these now? The nations that he's the head of right now. He's doing it very quietly. He's the head of the country of Belgium, France, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, West Germany, United Kingdom, Denmark, Ireland, Greece. 10 nations. That's what Daniel was speaking of in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. He said there's 10 horns shall come up. These 10 horns represent power. 10 kings represent kingdom. 10 toes represent last days. 10 crowns represent authority. And he said, Daniel said, after I saw the 10 horns, now this is the day. This is 2021. This is not 1948. This is 2021. These nations is waiting for this Antichrist to come, because when he comes, Daniel said, after I saw this last 10 horn, I saw another little horn come up out of the midst of the 10 European NATO nations that's coming up. When he come up, he's going to have eyes like a man, and he's going to speak great things against the Most High. That is the Antichrist coming up in the midst of the 10 European common market nations. Y'all listen to this now. Woo! Because we're standing right on it right now. And I know what you're thinking. What nation came up as the 11th nation of the European common market? 10 toes, 10 crowns, 10 kings, 10 crowns. The 11th nation that came up in 1986 was Spain, is the 11th nation of the European common market. That's the 11th nation. And out of that nation, the king of Spain is definitely, absolutely the Antichrist. And his name is King Felipe the Sixth. King Felipe the Sixth is the 11th horn. and his kingship came from his father, Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos came to be king of Spain in 1975. In 1975, Generalissimo Franco died. When Generalissimo Franco died, he told the king of Spain, I want Juan Carlos to become the king of Spain so that he can take it and turn it to a democracy country from a dictator-type country. And when he does that, he will be able to come in to the European common market and from then on take control of the whole world because of the power that this man had through Lucifer, son of the morning, king and prince, to rule the world. And he will come on a peace platform, and he will be called the King of Jerusalem, and the Jews will accept him as being no other than Jesus Christ, which will be a lie. He will be the Antichrist right on the verge. You're standing right on it. Corona of viruses. Corona is nothing but a setup. Let me tell y'all something. The coronavirus was formed in Wuhan, China. The coronavirus was formed by Bill Gates and all the rich Kabbalists and the Illuminati and the Baphomets. They set that up to bring this coronavirus on the scene. And when they brought it on the scene, they did it for one reason. They're trying to initiate and propagate the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is found in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter, in which the coronavirus will set up the mark of the beast, because now the coronavirus got people so afraid that now they're trying to make it mandatory to receive a vaccination so you can't get the virus. But whether you get the virus or not, the vaccination is not going to stop what God has already set in order. And the devil's saying, now if I can get the people to believe that the coronavirus can be cured by receiving a vaccination, I got you. Because the vaccination is going to turn into a what? 13th chapter of Revelation tell you what it's going to turn into. It's going to turn into a time in the middle of the tribulation when this Antichrist coming out of Spain, he's alive right now. He's behind the door pad getting ready to come out. And he can't come out. This is what I'm saying. He cannot come out until the glory, hallelujah, the body of Christ is removed from the earth. And that means all Christians. You hear what I said? All Christians. Those that have accepted Jesus Christ. Not all Catholics, not all Baptists, not all Presbyterians, but all Christians. Born again, baptized believers that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Not all that work in the church, that are not all that go in the church, but those that have repented of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I'm willing to sacrifice my life for the cause of Christ. And when the rapture of the church comes on the scene, then the Antichrist will arrive. And when he will arrive on a white horse, symbolically, symbolism. He won't be coming riding through the sky on a white horse, but symbolically, he'll come riding on a horse because him riding on a horse is a symbol of the Antichrist in the 6th chapter of Revelation. In the 19th chapter of the 11th verse, Jesus Christ comes riding on a horse physically, visibly. Why? Because a horse is the only animal that a man can ride on that shows victory. Woo! Jesus Christ came riding through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. And the reason he did that, because the victory had not come yet. But when he comes back on the power of heaven and the wings of heaven, he's coming back riding with the saints of God on white horses. Read your Bible. 19th chapter of Revelation. Jesus Christ split the sky after the 7-year tribulation. So the coronavirus is a tip of the iceberg, because there's more to come. And when I say more to come, I'm saying that the 6th chapter of Revelation, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale, sick-looking horse is yet to be fulfilled. The coronavirus is like a picnic in the backyard compared to what's getting ready to happen to this planet. Because number one, it's not the coronavirus that people should be concerned about. It's the judgment is coming. And there's no antidote for it. Only antidote that you can escape the wrath of God. Good God Almighty. The only antidote is you've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb to escape the tribulation period. Because if you haven't been born again, you're going to be left here, and you're going to see the picture on TV, on the internet, on Twitters, on Instagram, on YouTube. You're going to see the very man that I'm talking about right now. You're going to see the man. King Philippe stands at 6'6". Been in 4 military schools. Know 10 different kinds of languages. And he belonged, good God Almighty, to the Masonry. He belongs to the Illuminati. He belongs to all the secret orders in Eastern and Western Europe. He belonged to the Black Magic Club. His father was known to be a member of the Black Magic Club, which they worship Satan. They worship Satan under the disguise of trying to be a Christian. And there's a lot of government officials that's Illuminati. Y'all don't, oh my God. The people are blind. The government is corrupt with Illuminati. The government is corrupt with Hezbollah. The government is corrupt with Kabbalahs. Synagogue of Satan. That's mentioned in the book of Revelation in 2 of the churches. Synagogue of Satan. In other words, Satan got his church. Corrupt church. Abominable church. A blaspheming church. A lying church. A whorish church. They worship demons and devils and warlocks. And they are setting up the World Council of Churches. Francis. It's getting ready for the one world church, one world government, one world money system, one world economical system. The book of Revelation says they're going to join all in together. And they tell me they saw a woman up on a beast with a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of the earth. You'd be surprised. Some of these churches, they are filthy. They are filthy. You got liars. You got false preachers. You got all kinds of carnality, and you got sex orgies, and you got people worshiping sex and people burning babies, and you got people worshiping and drinking blood and drinking urine. You got people actually eating human flesh, worshiping Satan under the old rituals of the Old Testament. Came over to 2021. These same demon spirits is working in the air, the prince power of the air. All these flying UFOs are nothing but the demonic spirits, and they're getting ready to come down here. They're getting ready to rule this earth for a period of about 7 years. They're going to tell me they're going to fly through the air. These saucers that you see are real. They're real. The government, before this money out, I think the government's going to come out and let you know they've been dealing with these things since 1947. These are wicked spirits. that's causing men to go crazy. And our society has went crazy because demons are working and they're getting lower and lower to the earth. And in the middle of the tribulation period, you will find that 12th chapter in Revelation where the Bible says there's going to be a war in heaven. What heaven? First and second heaven, because the third heaven, Satan's been cast out forever, and now he works in the first and second heaven. And they say that Michael and his angels, let's get there, Michael and his angels will fight against the devil and his angels. Let's see what's going on over here. He says, and there was a war in heaven, the 12th chapter of Revelation. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there a place found anymore in heaven. All right, the devil's coming down here. I said Lucifer is coming down here. He's hovering the earth right now. He's above the clouds. And he's in the Galactica Quasar. He's up there in the second heaven. First heaven is with the clouds. And he's coming down here. You already don't see it on TV, invasion from planet Mars, all these things coming down. You don't see it. They don't have pictures since 1935. They've been making motion pictures of an invasion to earth. But before Jesus Christ comes, Satan will invade the earth with all their demons and devils and lying spirits that people will dazzle. Listen to what it says. And prevailed not, neither were there found place anymore in heaven. And the great dragon, that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called what? The devil. And Satan, which deceiveth what? The whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. They come into earth. There's going to be an invasion. Watch your TV set. Pour the gas. The Day of Independence, Will Smith. Saucers. They're coming. They're on their way. And when they get down here, they're going to tear the place up, because that's the only thing the devil can do, rip apart. And the church will not be here. I'll get some of these guys that's going around here talking about we're going to go through, the church is going to go through the tribulation period. God is not going to let his body go through this crap. The church already went through 2,000 years. 2,000 years of hell on earth as far as concerning the church, because the devil been trying to beat it up and tear it down and infiltrate it and compromise with it. But God said, I got some of them, I'm going to take them out, and those that's among them come out from among them, and be ye separated, say the Lord, I'm going to snatch them on out into glory. I'm not going to let my body suffer no more, because I love my children. I love those that have accepted me as Lord and Savior. And then when Jesus Christ takes his church, then the devil's going to come down here in the middle of the tribulation. But after the rapture of the church is taking place. Hallelujah! Listen to what I'm saying. After the rapture of the church, there won't be nobody here to carry the gospel of the kingdom. Nobody won't be here, but God said, I got the Jews yet to do their mission. God said, I got 7 years to deal with the Jews. I'm going to cut the Gentiles off, and I'm going to grab the Jews back in. When I grab the Jews back in, I'm going to send them out on a mission. I'm going to send out on an eternal mission. I'm going to sit out on a mission found in the book of Revelation at the 6th chapter. At the 7th chapter in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells me after the rapture of the church, God said, and I saw another angel ascend from the east, having the seal of the living God, and cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until I have sealed the servant of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 Jews. 144,000 Jews will come out of nowhere because God got some that we don't even know about. And when they come out, they'll call themselves the tribe of Israel. The Jewish nation will be grafted back into the tree. And then John said, I'm going to take a census count. I'm going to look at the tribe of Judah, and there were 12,000 out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 out of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000 out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 out of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. 12 times 12,000 equals 144,000 Jews. That's why Hezbollah, that's why they're trying to prevent Israel from existence. That's why God said, you touch Israel, you touch the apple of my eye. That's why God said, you touch Israel, I'm going to curse you. If you bless Israel, I'll bless you. That's why they're shooting rockets all into Israel and trying to obliterate the Jewish people. You can't touch the Jewish people because they're God's chosen people. And they're God's chosen people, and they're going to stay God's chosen people. The devil don't like it, but the devil can't do nothing about it. And the reason he can't do nothing about it, because he's been defeated. And guess what? These Jews are going to preach the real gospel. And I know I'm preaching the real gospel. And I know some churches are preaching the real gospel. But there's a lot of people not preaching the real gospel. And the real gospel is Jesus Christ is coming back again. And that he died and rose again. And he's coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And that he can save your soul from sin. These Jews were preached for 3.5 years. And they're going to preach January, February, March, April, May for 3.5 years. And they're going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. He's coming back, my friend. And when he comes back, the gospel is going to be so powerful that John, after they had got through preaching 3.5 years about the blood of Christ, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they tell me, John said, I saw a number that no man can number, as many as the sands of the sea. These are the tribulation saints that heard the gospel after the rapture of the church. The church is in heaven now, and the Jews are preaching the gospel. They're going to preach it so powerful that a great number of hosts is going to get saved. Saved, so many going to get saved. And they say, who are these and where did they come from? And they will say, these are they that heard the gospel from the Jewish people. And they say, there'll be a number that no man can know. And the only way that they can receive this is through the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. That's what the world needs today. They need to go to the cross. And the Jews are going to tell the world, this is what it's all about. And it's going to take the cross for you to get to hell. And you need to know the cross. Why don't you know that? Why don't you come on in? Why don't you come on in? Come on now. There's going to be a great revival during the 7-year tribulation. It's going to turn the world upside down. And people are going to stop their ears up and say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But there's going to be proof in the air. And the only way, God could have done this is when he died, he came back from the grave. He paid the penalty for sin. So now, men, and the devil is defeating all of
them. Someday,
but why don't you come and exchange your cross for a friend? Jesus Christ is coming back. And then on that old hill, far away, be saved today. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ.